like to begin over in the 9th chapter of Matthew. We'll begin with the 11th verse. Begin with verse 10. It said, "It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Now I want us to understand that these Pharisees and publicans normally were not asking questions because they really wanted to know. They were asking a question to make a point. I think about the woman that came and cried over the feet of Jesus. And she dried his feet with her hair. And they looked on Jesus and they said, if he knew what manner of woman that was, he wouldn't let her do that. What would you say if you saw that happening with Jesus today? You might sit back and say, well, he's being inappropriate. If he was as careful as he ought to be, he would not be letting a woman or a sinner woman be that close with him, and he was being inappropriate. Do you know that would be maybe a natural response that people would have? You know, people still act that way today? Doesn't mean to be inappropriate, but I want us to understand something. Jesus came to minister to the needs of people. All right? And the Pharisees often looked on what Jesus did and they were critical of it because they weren't doing it. They were wanting to feel secure in their area of spirituality that I'm spiritual and here's someone that people are listening to. Here's someone that people are following, and they looked on everything he did with a critical eye. Folks, we need to be careful, first of all, that we don't look on what God is doing with a critical eye. Because I've said here often, that if you come and you live life with a critical attitude, the devil is going to satisfy you. You go to camp meeting with a critical spirit, you will find something to be critical of. You come to revival meeting with a critical attitude, you're going to find something to be critical of. You come to Sunday morning worship and you want to be critical of the pastor, I'm speaking about myself now, you're going to find something to be critical of. You want to be critical of the singing, you're going to find something to be critical of. That is not an indication of what's going on with everybody else. A spirit of criticism is something that's going on in my own life, see. And so that's where the Lord does not want us to be as the scribes and Pharisees. But here we find them approaching the Lord saying, and the disciples saying, why is the master eating with the sinner? Because if he was really a man of God, he'd be doing it differently. Do you notice how frequently, even in our world today, and I say our world because it makes us more comfortable, it comes in the camp. But you know how often people question something God is doing? Do you realize how often people question because it's outside of my comfort zone, and rather than recognize everybody's not like me and God doesn't do everything like I think, that then we begin to get walls up and we begin to resist the dealings and the workings of the Spirit of God. Lord, help us not to be like the scribes and the Pharisees. So they came and say, "Why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said unto them, "They that be whole need not a what? They need not a physician. Those that are well in body don't need a doctor." He said, "But they that are sick, those that are not well, but go ye and learn what that meaneth." Go and learn. Go and learn what I'm saying. In other words, there are some times that you can be given instruction in something and you ought to have the lesson, right? I heard it and now I know it. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, you asked me a question, now I told you, end of discussion." He said, "You're going to have to go and learn." In other words, there's a process involved here. There is a process involved in learning this morning. And Jesus said, "I want you to go and I want you to learn something. Learn what I'm trying to communicate to you. It's not the whole that need a physician." And he went on to say this then, I will have, but go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. In other words, the scribes and the Pharisees had all their sacrifices. They had their prayers, and they had their fasting, and they had their offerings at the temple, and they had their long robes, they had their modesty. All those are good things. But Jesus came to have mercy on people. Jesus came to reach out to those that were not well, physically and spiritually and emotionally and psychologically. Jesus came to minister to people that had needs in their life. Go and learn what that means. Do you recognize that we come in these four walls this morning? It should not be to pat ourselves on the back and say we're holier than everybody else. We should come together in services like this to be inspired and renewed to go out and minister to hurting people. And then you will find that when you go out and minister to hurting people, I can share with you what I found. I found the same things happened to me that happened to Christ. People will criticize you. Has anybody else found that to be true? You do God's work and someone's going to start being critical. Well, why are you doing that? Or you shouldn't do that. Someone else should have been taking care of that. Then take care of it. I remember a time, and I've shared, sister in the congregation came, and it wasn't here. We're somewhere and said, Brother Michael, there's someone that got in an accident. I read about it in the paper. And they're in the hospital. You ought to go visit them. And I thought, well, you have the burden, you go visit them. In other words, it's easy again. You say, well, maybe they ought to do that or they shouldn't be doing it. If there's someone doing God's work that they shouldn't be doing it, what are you doing? You know what? Why would we criticize someone helping somebody? That defies logic to me. Why would you criticize someone for helping someone out? Because it brings about to people that are not secure in their own life and walk with God, it brings about an insecurity that I don't like it that someone else is doing what I'm not, and I don't want to feel guilty, so rather than feel guilty, I'll start being critical. Jesus said, go and learn what it means. Go and learn what it means. Sacrifice is good, saints. But the Lord wants us to be a merciful people. He wants us to come to minister to those that do not have without expectation of return. See? If we give that we would be given back, we are missing the point. If we do to be recognized, we're missing the point. The point is to minister to people that are hurting. And you will find that not everybody's going to like it. And you will find sometimes people being critical, even Jesus Christ himself. The illustration when the lepers came wanting Jesus to minister to them. And remember, Jesus reached out and touched them. And I shared with you my perspective on that. I can just hear Peter, don't touch him, Lord, because they're unclean. You know what I find when you start helping people that are sick? When you start ministering to people that have needs? Yes. There's some exposure. You're in a vulnerable place when you start ministering to hurting people. But that's where we need to have enough grace and strength and power with God that we are enabled to go out and do what He said and minister to the hurting, that I can touch the leper and not get leprosy. That we can begin to minister to those that are bitter and not get bitter ourselves. That we can minister to the people that have needs without being tainted by their affliction. But we cannot do that our own strength. We're going to have a call from God, and we're going to have to walk with God, and we need His grace to enable us to do that. But I believe the Lord is still saying to us this morning, go and learn what it means. You say, I just don't understand it. Then go and learn. Because He came to call the sinner to repentance. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but who? The sinner. That's why Jesus came. If Jesus had come for the righteous, would we be saved this morning? No, it was because when while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, the Lord looked on and He loved us when we weren't worthy of love. So if there's someone in your life this morning that does not seem deserving or worthy of your love, I want you to go and learn what the love of Jesus means. The love of Jesus means that we didn't deserve it and we weren't worthy, but the Lord still looked on us and He had compassion and He was there to minister to our needs. Jesus looked out over the multitude so many times and it said He was moved with compassion. He was touched with their needs. And the Lord wants us to be that kind of people this morning. Not a people that look at those that are hurting and go on the other side of the road. Because, you know, when you stop and bind up someone's wounds, you're going to get dirty. You're going to get some blood on your hands. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan? The man there that was beaten, maybe nigh to death. It's not a pleasant thing to bind up wounds. Some of you may be able to do that fine. But it's not a pleasant thing. And it's hurtful. Do you know the Lord once called us to do that? Spiritually. Are we willing to take time for those? And who are we to minister to? Jesus said as you have, or the scripture said, Paul said rather, as you that have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto who? All men, this morning, everybody is. You say, well, you committed such an egregious sin or such an offense. No, Jesus said, do good to all. But He also said, especially to who? The household of faith. Do you know, it's a reproach to the people of God. When I can stop alongside the road and help somebody that needs some food. I don't like to give money because there's questions. A lot of times that goes to areas that may not want my money spent. But you help somebody out. Put gas in their car. Buy them some groceries. You go out and do good to someone. Do you know that's good? The Lord wants that. But you recognize that's also a reproach if I won't help someone that's sitting right in front of me. One of God's people that's going hungry, and I won't help. You understand? We have responsibility, saints. We have responsibility, and it starts at home. Like I told you, mentioned a few weeks ago, that the man that came and gave me an offering, and his wife needed some things, and he wasn't taking care of his family. Like, go home and take care of your family. You know, that's where it starts. And it's the same thing with the work of God. We are called to go and learn what it means to sacrifice for one another. To learn what it means to give of ourselves. And I'll tell you, it's not always popular. You're going to get criticism. Well, they need to stand on their own two feet. You're enabling. Have you ever heard that? We need to be good stewards, saints. Don't misunderstand me. If there's someone that's able-bodied to be out working and they're lazy and they're well and able to be out working and all they do is sit and read books and eat potato chips, I'm not going to feel a real burden to help them out. You understand? Because I'm enabling something. But when someone is not able or someone is struggling and in need, we have a responsibility to help them. A responsibility to help them. Well, I'll share with you, even to the point of the work. I'll just be very, give you an example. The work in Africa. Do you know Malawi is the poorest country in the world, okay? Number one poorest country in the world. There's no country that's poorer than Malawi. And so then we said, well, should we really be helping these people out, putting a roof on their chapel? Well, you answer me, should we or shouldn't we? He said, well, they need to do their own work. I mean, we're enabling them. We couldn't even hardly afford to put a roof on our own chapel here. Someone came along and donated, what, half of it? Or more, maybe? Were they enabling us? Well, maybe we should have dug a little bit deeper, Lord. Help us, saints. But the fact of the matter is, someone helped us out. So then when you go to a country that's the poorest in all the world, and they're going to bed hungry at night, and someone's critical of putting a roof on their chapel for them so they can come and not get wet when it rains? I say, Lord, help us to go and learn what Jesus wanted us to do. And that's just a personal example. But the orphanage, I'll give you another example. Have someone, well, is that really enabling to help? Do we not, children are not able to provide for themselves? Do your children provide for themselves? No, we give them food and clothing. The question is, are we enabling them? No, we're doing what parents are supposed to do and take care of them. That's what the work of the orphanage is. Those are examples just because that's what I deal with. But do you recognize, and I could get closer to home too, and I won't. But do you recognize that there are things God has called us to do? I will have mercy. I came to help those that have needs in their life. Now we can say, Brother Michael, but who are we supposed to help? I want to tell you in the words of Jesus, and folks, said frequently, and I may say it again. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again today, and I may say it Wednesday night. I don't know. I didn't write this. I was called to live it, and I was called to preach it. So if you don't like it, talk to God about it. I didn't write it. I was called to live it. I was called to preach it. Who did Jesus say we were to help? Do you remember over in the 25th chapter of Matthew? We have a scene at the judgment, remember? And there was a judgment that Jesus, the sheep and the goats were being separated. And he was separating. And what was the foundation of the separation? Does anybody remember? It was what? It was their works. Now, we're not saved by works, saints. We're not saved by works. But a lack of works can unsave us. Understand? We're not saved by works, but a lack of them will be actually is demonstrative of a lacking faith. So, Jesus or the scriptures talked about the judgment. And he began to separate the sheep from the goats, and this was the foundation of separation. On verse 33 of the 25th chapter, it said, he sets the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left, and the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now this is how he separated. He said, I was hungry. And he said, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. And then the righteous would say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed thee or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in naked and clothed thee? He went on, the king shall answer and say, verily I say unto thee, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, so you have done it unto me. And those that departed into eternal damnation were those that have profession, some of them. In thy name have we done many mighty works. But they were missing something. They had not had a life of labor, of sacrifice and compassion and mercy on people. And so then, who did he minister to? Do we just go visit the people in prison that are there unjustly? You understand? Jesus, why are you sitting with this sinner? Because they're sick. They need help. You know, you invite someone over to dinner just so you'll get an invitation back. I'll take you out to a steak dinner, but next time you're paying. Next time you take me out to steak dinner, that's fine. That's all good and well. But what about the person? I was in prison. And yeah, I'm there because I did some things. And I did some pretty horrible things. And you can go and learn what happened. I was hungry. You're enabling them. I'm hungry. And you say, is this the work of the gospel, friends? How can we say this is the gospel? That's what Jesus said. In one part, there's another balance to that, right? But that's one aspect of it. So what do we do? Have we learned our lesson this morning? Or do we come, like the brother James has said before, he talked about what people just coming and feeding on the good things of God and just getting fat. We need to get out and exercise and give out what we've gotten. You understand? We need to get out. And if we've been blessed spiritually, then go out and share it with somebody else. Go out and give of the abundance, the blessings, the wonderful message of the gospel, of hope, of righteousness, of deliverance, of peace and of joy. We've got something wonderful. Let's not just sit around and get engorged with it so we can't move because we've eaten so much. But let's go and start giving it out. You know, this is what the Lord called us to do. He came to minister to the sick. He came to minister to those that are suffering. And the Lord has called us to do the same thing. And He says, go and learn what it means. In other words, I think He was saying, I don't expect you just to get it all right now. I don't expect you to understand it all right now. But I want you to go and start thinking about it. Praying about it. Start doing some good. Start having some mercy. I saw a couple of men in a clothing store looking for women's clothing for themselves. And, you know, naturally speaking, that there's something in that that repulses me in the flesh. And the Lord gave me a whip, and I haven't forgotten it. I've shared that different times. Jesus died. He died for them. He didn't call us to ostracize the sinner. He didn't call us to say, oh, you committed this sin. You're a liar. You're a drunkard. You're an adulterer. You're a fornicator. So we won't have anything to do with it. No, Jesus said, I came to bring life to them. I came to minister to them. I came to show them a better way. A better way. Compassion. Merciful. That is not excusing. That is not putting our children in a situation where they're going to be influenced adversely by those things. That's not what I'm talking about. But in our spirit, in our approach to people, that Lord, we're called to be spiritual doctors. We're called to minister to people. All of us are called to minister to people. About the time you think, well, the preacher's not doing his job, I would challenge you, are you doing yours? And if you're doing your job, maybe the preacher might not have to do as much. If you're doing your, well, he will be. There'll just be other things. If all of us, and I'm not talking on personally now, but I'm speaking of all of us. I hope you understand the point. If we do our jobs, if we do what we're supposed to do, it might lighten the burden from someone else. Then they can go and put it in other areas that maybe you don't have influence there. But if there are those in your life that have need, I challenge you, minister to them. Spiritually, temporally, physically, emotionally, minister to them, because there's so many hurting people, folks. We don't have time. We don't have time to be wasting it on being critical of other people who are doing God's work. This is God's work. And you may think, Brother Michael, that sounds a little ridiculous. Brother James preached in Butler. He mentioned something about the book that a pastor wrote about the stories a pastor couldn't tell while they were living, you know, while other people were alive. You understand what I'm saying? The stories that could be told. I could tell you all some stories this morning. I could tell you all some stories. And I say, Lord, help us. Lord, help us to have the mind of Christ. Lord, help us to have a spirit of love and a spirit of compassion and a spirit that we're out doing God's work. And that we as brothers and sisters are there to love and support each other in the work of God. That we wouldn't sit back as the Pharisees, I've got it all figured out, and just sit there and be critical of everything else everybody's doing for God. Oh no, brother. Yeah, you may stumble. Brother James has also told us all here before, I think. He said it's better to try and fail than not try at all. So would we rather just sit in our little comfortable spot, or would we rather say, Lord, I know you have a ministry for me, and I may make some mistakes, and I may stumble, but by the grace of God, I'm going to keep working. And the Lord's saying, that's right, just go and learn. And to learn, you make mistakes. That's what learning is. If you never make a mistake, you're probably not learning. You're just regurgitating what you already know. Part of the learning process is making mistakes and then correcting them and then doing better the next time. Amen? So Lord, help us to go and learn what that means. I'd like to also, before we close, over in the book of Matthew as well, in the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28, in the 18th verse, Jesus said and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now he's saying to go out. Don't stay in one location, but go out. And he said, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them. Now this is what Jesus told us to teach the people. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Folks, we're called to go. Go and learn. Go and do. Go and teach. What are we supposed to minister? Everything that the Lord has taught us to do. And if we hold back, if we hold back on ministering the whole word to those that are sick, you recognize the sick are going to stay sick. Amen? The sick are going to stay sick unless, as a people, we are not going to allow the scribes and the Pharisees to keep us from doing God's work. We're not going to allow the scribes and the Pharisees to keep us from preaching the gospel. We're not going to keep the scribes and the Pharisees from keeping us from going out ministering to those that need help. And they say, oh, brother, they're sick. Now, you don't give a T-bone steak to someone that has the flu, do you? If you do, you're probably, your bedside manners or understanding needs to be improved a little bit. You, someone that's in bed, you don't go and take them a steak dinner and say, here, I came to minister to you. No, you take them Sprite and chicken noodle soup. You know, that's what you take to someone that's sick. Well, Brother Tony might take bologna, I don't know, but understand that we don't take a T-bone steak to them. But there's a time when someone is weak that it's time to start eating some meat. If we're continually, the scripture tells us, for those that are young in the faith, if they're continually, all they're drinking is milk, there's going to be a weakness there, right? So there's a time for milk and there's a time to grow up. And it seems like we're living in a spiritual environment in this generation that just wants to get milk. And we say, well, brother, but there's some people that can't handle meat. But then if everybody in the congregation, everybody in the body of Christ, everybody in the world we meet, it's always milk, milk, milk. We're going to have a milk experience. Amen? And the Lord wants us to understand for people to grow, they need their senses exercised thereby to feed on the whole Word of God. And Jesus said, go out to all nations. Okay, those that are sick, those that have need in their life, go and preach all things to them that they could have something to grow in. And you know what? If I get a T-bone steak and I say I'm not able to eat it, don't throw it away. Put it in the freezer until you get a little stronger and then eat on it a little bit. But don't deny your neighbor T-bone steak or spinach, as the case may be. Whatever it is, don't deny the person sitting next to you in the congregation the right to come to service and hear the Word of God that's going to feed them and help them. And we sit back like a scribe and Pharisee and be critical of the preachers. Be critical of the Sunday school lesson. Be critical of Sunday school teachers. Be critical of the revival meeting. Be critical of the camp meetings. No, Lord, if I can't handle it now or that does something in me, then Lord, help my spirit. But Jesus came to minister to all people. And we need to give the Holy Spirit the right to still do that today and understand that all of us are called to a ministry. Let's go and learn what it means. Preach the whole thing. Teach all people everything that I've commanded them. Because, folks, the words of Christ are life. If we withhold some of it saying, well, we're not going to give that out. How many years do we not give it out? And pretty soon that truth is lost. It's lost. Because someone all the time is going to get offended at scribes and the Pharisees. So Lord, help us have a good bedside manner. Lord, help us in everything we do to do it with love. But let's understand Jesus came to minister to those that are in need, and he didn't hold back. I would not be here if it had not been for that kind of mercy and that kind of compassion the Lord has had on me. Thank you for your attention.